Good evening, everyone, and welcome to an actual episode of Starman and the Boomer. Trig's back, guys. Hey, say hello, Trig. Good evening, everyone,
Evening, Trick. Oh,
and
God, we've got
welcome
a.
to an actual episode of Starman and the Boomer. We're gonna what?
There we go. Quick boomer moment. I got the stream open, didn't I? So we've had
It's fine. That happens sometimes. So that's just to make sure it's running, guys. Don't
Yeah,
worry.
literally does.
It's literally to make sure it's running. We like to make sure that the stream actually works. But no, we did say Trig's been you've just been very well. Why don't you tell people what you've been up to, Trig?
I've been really, really busy. For a start, I've had some unfortunate things that were happening with regards a death in the family, and they made me executor of the will. So I've been going through oodles of paperwork and all sorts of nonsense on that front. And also, I'll be perfectly honest, since the whole thing in Ukraine and various other things have been going off, I got a little black pill, dude. I'll be perfectly honest. I got a little bit sort of, you know what? If I keep on focusing on everything that is wrong in the world, I'm going to be very sad all the time, and so I decided to just play lots of Dungeons and Dragons instead. So I've been playing that quite a fair bit, doing DMing on that, and just generally trying to bring back the love, trying to enjoy the nice things in life, looking out and seeing the green and the trees and the birds, and going, you know what? It's not all bad. It's not all bad. I mean,
Wake up, it's a
it
beautiful morning.
Sometimes you really do have to do that, though. If you just sat there going,
Trig.
it's all bleak, it's all doom, it's all gloom. Klaus Schwab is taking us straight to hell. Oh my God. And
You've been skipping through the wheat fields.
a little bit,
Is
a
that what you've
little
been
bit.
doing?
What I've
A
been
little
doing,
bit.
I've been running around in the woods with the crossbow, shooting at rubber targets quite a lot as well, which is quite fun.
Is that that's slightly airsofted, but not quite as gay, I'm
It's
afraid.
yeah, no,
Oh.
I've taken up archery. I have a nice little crossbow that's yeah, it's fun. Like it's like golf, but deadly. More deadly. Essentially.
Right, before we get any further, I'm going to make sure that we're doing the YouTube-y stuff properly. So I've been a little bit lax on that recently. We do have donations available. We have it as the first thing in the description. I'll put it very quickly here in the chat. The best way to support us is still Streamlabs if you want to send donations, because YouTube doesn't get a cut through that, but we all are somehow we are still monetized on YouTube itself. Yeah, you need to be practicing your longbow, as Big Brain Content says. Make the king happy. We got a donation in the meantime, so thank you, Xerphos Aurelius, who's from Cabal. Yeah, I know you're talking to him in Cabal. Trig, he's given us £10 and said my contribution to the Twitch fu Twit Twix fund. I keep saying Twitch there. Good Lord, I'm getting streamer brain. Twix fund. Love the streams. There we go. So thank you very, very much, Xerphos Aurelius. I will also make sure, because I've not done it for a little bit, to read off the channel members, because I can see a few of you guys in the chat there. So thank you to James Mary, who's been a member for 14 months. A lot of you guys have been members for a long time since we set the memberships. HK9410, our favorite fictional firearm. Not sure who's I think our newest member. GC Mitt, I've seen you in the chat today. Windstalker, S. Smith, Portrait Seal, Sock Addict, and Tank Imperator. Thank you very much, guys, for your memberships. They are basically the biggest contributor to in terms of our steady monthly income. So that does help just with the viability of the channel. We use a lot of that to buy books with, and it does help support us a little bit and gives us a little bit of revenue to play with in terms of improving the channel a little bit. Because mostly through knowledge accruing. It also just helps in general. It helps pad things out in terms of our because things are a little bit difficult these days, so I'm not gonna plead too much poverty, but I will make sure to show. Also, I again it's very gay, but do if you do watch the videos, do like the videos, because that does actually make sure it's not really about gaining new audience, but if our videos don't get any interaction, it basically deranks them, and none of you guys will see them, because a lot of people complain, even though they have notifications turned on, they don't get notifications. Even though they are subscribed, they don't see it in their sub box. A lot of people I see comments weeks later saying that they've missed streams and, shouting at YouTube. So if you want to see stuff, interacting with the videos does actually help you see them. It hides them a bit less with that. Unfortunately, you just have to deal with that. I'm looking at setting up an Odyssey. People have bothered me enough that I probably am going to set one up. So we will probably have that. It does do automatic mirroring, I think, Odyssey. So I'll try and make sure our back catalog ends up somewhere that it can't be gotten rid of. I do manually download every single video that we make, so I have hard backups of everything too. But a lot of you guys have asked me for that. I don't think we have enough of a presence to have something like a subscribe. Oh, but that's the no that's the YouTubey stuff out of the way, because really we've been doing this. God, it is. It'll be getting towards 2 years by the end of this year. We started doing the whole Stan and the Boomer thing at the very end of 2020.
It was basically after the after the election, after those vertical spikes. was pretty much the moment we started, or just shortly after. Was it shortly after or shortly before? I can't remember now, but it was just after the American election, if memory serves.
I think it was just after, yes. Because we actually did one of our earlier streams, which I actually have the avatars for in the thumbnail there. I'm quite proud of my thumbnail. I've always tried to make them at least entertaining, because there are some people out there who have extremely poor quality thumbnails. We actually started, I think, just before the election. The first Stan and the Boomer episode one, was a nightmare UK surveillance state. We're talking about the Human Intelligence Sources Act,
Yes, which I'm still banging
which
on
is still a
about.
problem.
Yeah, not
Yes.
off. That passed. That is
Which is
it.
still a problem.
We are doomed. Anybody in plain clothes that happens to be a government agent is now immune to prosecution for just about any law in the UK. What a world.
Yes. It's people are talking about licenses in the chat. Well, that basically you need a license not to be murdered by a state agent in the UK. I think that was one of the major impetuses for us doing these streams, was the failure of people to talk about things like the Human Intelligence Sources Act. Because we didn't see much of that going around. It wasn't in the alt media. It wasn't in a lot of the YouTube talking heads. And I
No.
think it was a very, very important thing that people weren't really talking about.
I saw, I think it was
If you,
two
yeah.
Guardian news articles, and that was it. And they were not what you would call front page articles either. They were one of the few times where I found myself agreeing with the Guardian, which it happens occasionally. The worst person in the world who says something you agree with, but
The Guardian has to keep their fake indignation to the security state whilst also praising laws that interact with people hope not hate. We're going to have a big stream at some point on some of the proposed parliament stuff in terms of quote unquote far right terrorism. We put a bunch of it in here. That'll be a bit similar, because it interlocked very heavily with the Online Harms Act and things like that. I think we put that in. There's a bunch of research for it, I think, in this actual server here. But there are some very, very worrying signs about how all these laws are coming together. But let's not get to that. Was a lot of people were like, "Oh, thank you guys, that stream was great, but now I'm very blackpilled." But we try to make this channel a bit more fun a lot of the time,
Yes.
and a bit less pedantic on certain places can be, because I've been watching a lot of. I don't know what would normally be described as like distant right or even like libertarian streams. And a lot of the time you end up with one guest who gets into a pedantic argument with another guest and it goes on for 20 minutes and everyone wants to die. That kind of actually happened last night with the cigar stream. I like Pharaoh, but God, he can get off into the weeds.
Pedantic
But that
arguments on the
was.
internet say it isn't so.
But that was the first episode
Yeah.
of Starman and the Boomer. Back when we more heavily emphasized our, I guess that you still see it in the viewer questions bit, but the little Union Jack background I make. I quickly decided that those thumbnails all looked too similar though, so I started trying to make them a bit more varying image based, so they read well small.
We've had some fantastic backgrounds and thumbnails, to be honest. You've done it's some excellent work on that front.
A lot of it is just like you've got to squint at it and have a look at it about how it looks small. Like it's got to read well small is what I always tell people. Because God, when I used to be in Sargon server before I got banned,
Yes.
I used to berate V for his horrendous. Everyone used to berate V for his horrendous thumbnails. So I've been training Evelyn as well. You know, as she's been doing thumbnails, and
Yes.
she's got a lot better at them. She made passable ones usually, but these days she's got better at the thumbnails, and it adds the variance having a couple of people make them too. But it's always important, I think, to make sure that people can read what you're on about. The thumbnails are above all functional. They're meant to pass information in a readable way. So yeah, it's fun making them, you know, having little Easter eggs in them, but generally I try and make sure everyone's avatar is visible. You can kind of get a little bit of an idea from the background image, and the text is readable in any format. That is really just the key to a good thumbnail. But
Yes.
I'm getting off into the thumbnail weeds now.
I was going to say, we're going to start talking about fonts in a minute, which is an excellent font, by the way. But yes, that's.
Well, I'm kind of stuck with the whole Mario Star thing.
Yeah.
God, part of this retrospective can really be the fact that I'm stuck with being a 3D Mario Star made by Pixel Janosch, who I still talk to. He's still a decent dude. And also being called fucking Scrump Monkey, which I got stuck with. Neither of them I'm able to move away from, because nobody knows who I am without those two things. It has, for better or worse, become brand.
It's
So.
branding, dude. It's branding. I mean, you know, do you think Twix Bar wants to be called Twix Bar? Once they're
Twix
known,
is a fine.
Twix is fine.
Twix is a fine name. Twix is okay. It's a chocolate bar, you know. I'm trying to make we do the occasional serious streams here,
Yeah.
and it does I think sometimes it's a bit incongruous in certain places. I've started using my real name more. I've started doing more real life events and things like that, which has become a bit of a feature, us talking about that a little bit on the channel. But yeah, it's something I got saddled with. Yeah, I got no, thank God I didn't get amazing atheist. I will say one of the good points about being called Scrump Monkey, it's kind of a silly nothing name. That's what it's
Yeah.
meant to be. It's meant to just be a name that's not taken anywhere. At least I'm not like Halo Elite 1337 428. Yeah,
Yeah.
like I'm not like Sticks Heckenhammers underscore 666 underscore.
Yeah, but I mean I've got a game. The Twigger Hippie was my game attack. I just liked the song a long time ago and it stuck. Fortunately, it was actually a kind of pretty decent name, I think. And it really has stuck. I have people in IRL. In fact, Kiki he calls me Trig all the time. She's like living here. It's like, Christ, my name, you know, you can use my real name. Hate it.
Yeah, I generally do get called by I don't know. People, to be fair though, a nickname of Scrump isn't too bad in real life.
It's not.
Like Trig and Scrump sounds like normal, like friend group of people who've known each other since school kind of stuff.
Precisely.
But
Precisely. Also,
it's
someone says, "All right, Trigger, I can always turn around and go, all right, Dave." And anyone that knows,
what goes.
only fools and horses. And you know, yeah, you're right. It's not too bad. Scrump's not too bad. Scrump's all right. It's a good name. What are you talking about?
I think I yes.
Stealer of
The other
apples.
one I really want, Stealer of Apples. Yes, it's I do quite like decent Scrumpy side. I like Old Rosie. It's a little bit it's a little bit feety, but not too feety. I think the stream that people still bring up, and it doesn't actually have as many views as I thought it did, but it's stuck in a lot of people's minds, is the I think it was only the third stream that we did, actually looking at it here. The third stream that we did was the Infinite Crab Bucket, because
Infinite
I
Crab
wanted to get
Bucket.
away from just like
Yeah.
yeah I didn't want to get away from just rank punditry. Because we talked about the UK surveillance stuff, we talked about the Great Reset, and then it's like, right, we'll move away from kind of monster of the week, as it were. That kind of format.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very much so. Yes.
You don't want to become like mid-series Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Here's new story of the week. That one I still get people referencing that.
Same.
Because there's the classic image of Crab in Bucket. Oh, I think I still have the original PNG for Fishenberg here as well, unless you still have it.
I just popped him into the corner of the chat very briefly because
Well done, well
I've got the
done.
questions in chat page over open, and it's like, oh, you know what? I've got
Nicely
a
done.
Fishenberg right here. Let's just pop him in. Yeah, because that's where
You can
we
still
introduced
bring him
him.
in.
Yeah.
Do we still have the Alex button? Does the Alex I remember that was very temperamental. That's why we stopped using it.
Let's see if
Because
Alex.
Alex would.
I can try Alex button. Hold on a second, because
Yeah,
it
because the
was.
Alex button kind of it broke and we couldn't get it to work at one point because it was always kind of 50-50 when we used to press the Alex button. It might be a slight headphone warning if it does work, but I don't think it. I think that broke and we couldn't get it working again. And it just took so much effort, like half the time before streams used to be trying to get that video to work.
No,
We do have
it's
the
not working.
little, we
No.
have the little frame though. We can put some news in there. I always liked putting news in the conspiracy theory frame.
Yes. It's because we've
I
got the
do need to,
conspiracy
you need to.
theory, and then we've got the happy Alex one as well, where he's got this.
Yeah, we did. This makes Alex happy.
His big chubby cheeks. Look at
I'm.
that. Oh, he's
I've
so
been
happy.
planning. Still, we need to do a follow-up to the. We had too much material for the conspiracy theories that are real stream. I
Oh.
think we could try and do one that's very Alex Jones themed if we do a more conspiracy theories that turned out, that
We
are real.
need to we, that is an almost endless source of material in conspiracy theories that turned out to be real. It really is. I was on Proper Horror Shows channel, not last week before, doing Jacob's Ladder, review of Jacob's Ladder, which isn't technically a horror movie. It's kind of a horror movie. It's kind of a suspense thriller, weird. It sort of sits in a weird psychological horror, and that is banged full of, testing drugs on Vietnam veterans and the, American government going
Yes, it
around
is.
bumping off people that talk about it, etc., whilst being, he never actually leaves Vietnam. Great, but absolutely right there, I'm just sat there going, there's three solid conspiracy theories right there in that movie that I don't think we've really addressed, but there they were. Oh, you can't mean that they tested drugs on American soldiers. I was like, well, the Germans were giving their soldiers cocaine essentially in the chocolate during World War
Yes.
II. You can't tell me that the Americans weren't playing something similar. Oh, well, I didn't realize that. Yep.
Amphetamine chocolate.
Shocker cola.
Yeah, well the two militaries that do it even heavier now are India and China. If you look at the stuff they feed their soldiers.
Oh, I've been corrected. It was meth, not cocaine. You're absolutely right. Patrick, I do not know the difference clearly.
No,
Nothing.
it was
Was,
meth.
yes.
Well, sometimes it was both.
Yes. They gave them MDMA in
That's
World War I, apparently, Cringebot is saying, which I can't see. I mean,
yes.
that's making love, not war, really. Surely. MDMA is not a good combat drug. That's just like,
That
oh.
seems
I'm happy.
slightly counterproductive.
Yeah.
Yes. But going back to the infinite crab bucket,
Yes.
I think the point of that stream that we really hammered home and belabored the point, and a lot of people might not remember that one because we have basically tripled in size since the channel started. It
Yeah,
was
that's mad.
under 1.5K when we started. It was about 1.3K actually. I've just gone to check. So we have basically tripled in size since then, which
Wow.
is great, by the way. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah.
But we. The whole point was, and I think honestly that impulse, especially in the online space, has got worse for people to pull down those who are outside of the group think, and it's got very, very locked down in certain communities. I mean, when we made that stream, I know we were kind of making fun of a lot of what had happened in the quote unquote kind of remnants of the skeptic community, but there hadn't really been the kind of there was even more of that afterwards, I would say. There was a lot of blow-ups, a lot of people falling out with each other, a lot of people have disappeared off into their own little corners. And if anything, that instinct to create uniformity and not rock the boat and drag people down with newer or more radical ideas has got worse in the interim, I would say, not better.
I mean, you were talking about Sog on server. You are far from the only person to have been almost unpersoned from there, who was, a core part of that. I know Uzlu has suffered a little bit on that front as well, for similar, if not, well, they are, it is different reasons, but I'm not going to get into that.
He violated the sanctity of someone's Minecraft server.
Yes, he did. And from that moment onwards, he was basically persona non grata. I mean, of all things.
Well, it's I think we've had a very wide gambit of guests on, though. We've had a lot of different people on.
Yes, very much so.
It's been quite interesting. I know we're hoping to, at some point, to try and get Mr. Peter Quinus back on, but he's very busy at the moment. Although I think Evelyn might be meeting him because Evelyn is at the Mises Institute for a week starting tomorrow. That's why we're taking the opportunity to do kind of a little retrospective stream here.
Of course, yes. To manage to get over to America and everything else, no problem then. Good, good.
Oh no, she's leaving tomorrow, but we managed to get around the whole vaccine thing. We got an exemption, so not still not taking the jab. So, good on her. But it's been a lot of hoop jumping. It's been a right nightmare, honestly, to get that. But no, she did win her kind of 3 week scholarship to Mizuzu, which is hopefully going to be quite enjoyable. Going to meet some spicy people. She's actually getting a lift from the airport from Yiz the Eunuch.
Oh,
So
okay.
thank you for that, Yiz, who I think is currently on. I think we're having a bit of an overlap with Proper Horror Show today,
Yes.
because I do like to try and watch her streams, but unfortunately, everyone just streams when they can, so there's always overlap. I do try and work around and hand off to people when I can. But I don't know, Trig. What are your thoughts in retrospect on the Infinite Crab Bucket stream then?
I really enjoyed it. I'm the same as you. I've got several friends of mine who was like, "Oh, I really liked that one. That was your best one. There was a good sense of humor to that, etc." There was. We'd kept a nice little tempo up of and introduced a few nice little sort of motifs, shall we say, that we managed to keep on for quite a while. We did sort of lose it a little, lose the way a little bit when we tried to do sort of gun streams and crypto advice streams and all sorts of other things as well after
No,
that.
you keep the content varied.
Crabbing Bucket was solid though. It was, because we were dealing with concepts, not actual happenings, not, as you say, monster of the week. We were going, okay, here is a psychological phenomenon that we have observed. It has been observed to be true, essentially, and we're watching it happening all over the world in various different ways. And here is how we present it in an amusing manner. I loved it. I enjoyed that stream a lot.
It's difficult to do that because it has to happen organically. There's a couple of ones though, I think, where there was a kind of a mini sequel to that in the All Hail the New Boot stream, which was the stream right after, because we came up with those two at basically the same time. That's like three hits in a row though. You've got the Infinite Crab Bug, you've got All Hail the New Boot, and you've got the conspiracies that turned out to be true, which I think kind of sets the tone for some of our better feature streams, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say so. And I mean, until we got ourselves dug into the democratization theory, which I will say it, I've said it before, I said it at the time, I will say it again. I really enjoyed doing that. We there was it was mad because it was literally get up in the morning on Monday morning and go, okay, I have a reading list of these books to read,
Yeah.
or at least these chapters to read, and I've got to cram them all into my head by Wednesday so I can do a stream on Thursday about it and continue from there. It's not stopped. It's actually got me into quite a reading kind of tempo now.
No, it did jump start that with me as well.
I've gone a little off the rails recently. I'm into Gnostic Gospels and Books of Enoch and basically Apocrypha at the moment. Don't ask why,
Oh no,
but
it's good. We're gonna do stuff about that at some point.
yeah, I'm really enjoying hidden knowledge, hidden tomes that the Catholics basically went, no, no one can read this. We're hiding this forever. This book is ours, and no one will reread it. And
Well,
I'm
even though it, like, even if a lot of it is not fake, but you know what I mean? A lot of it is kind of like esoteric. A lot of it you're not quite sure where it comes from, but it's a lot of
Yes.
it's interesting. The history, it's like the Shroud of Turin. It doesn't matter whether it's real or not. It's still like a 13th century artifact that has an incredibly interesting history to it.
Precisely. It's also it's crazy fun. You're sitting there going, oh, the angels are sat there going, oh, these women are looking pretty hot and tasty. I tell you what, we've got you, me, and the boys. We're gonna make a pact, and we're all gonna go down, and we're gonna do those women, and we're gonna go there. They don't down there. They do the women, and suddenly giants are wandering around because the women have spawned giants that are basically the size of a football field. God knows how they gave birth to that, probably just exploded. And the giants are running around eating people. They're having sex with goats. God's looking down going, dear, oh my me, what is happening down there? Sod
Vagina.
it, sod it, you this is it, floods.
Yes. Oh,
It's
dear.
great fun. It's far more interesting than the normal Bible. I think more giants and angels having sex with goats. It's hilarious. It is absolutely off the wall type stuff, and I can't get enough of that. It's great fun. It's like Greek history rather than or Greek mythology rather. Great fun.
Yes, it is. There's some stuff like that in the Old Testament too, but not as much as you'd like. People forget about the giants. People forget about a lot of the kind of what I would like the biblical mythology stuff. There's loads of stream ideas that we've got that we just don't really have time to do. And I do, as much as I like doing the general streams, it is important to talk about, if not current events, then at least current trends in a wider sense. Which is what I think we've moved a bit more towards doing more recently. But there were, I think, some good kind of concept streams I'd like to move back into doing. It's just those dude, like, even with the Infinite Crab Bucket, there was a lot of, funny slides to be made. Those actually do take quite a bit of time to plan and do.
Yes.
There's quite a lot of ex, you know, we don't just you don't just wake up one day and be funny on the fly. You kind of have to plan those streams out. So. It's something I'd like to move more back into doing, but it's a little bit of a time sink, to be honest. I thought the game stonk stream and the gun stream was pretty good though, but
They
that's just me.
were okay. I enjoyed doing them. I don't think they were our best as far as content though. But yeah, they were fun to do, without a doubt. And yes, game stunk. That was a fun old time, wasn't it? The GameStop suddenly going bananas. That was there were some amusing conversations being had in various servers at that point in time.
Although I did, yes,
Didn't
there were. That
quite
was.
bring about the end of banking as some people were predicting, but
No, it did not. Unfortunately,
we all
it
get a
didn't have
little
the impact
hopeful
it
every
could.
now and then.
We do get a little ambitious every now and then, yes.
Yes.
But I think we did pretty good. I did enjoy the more recent one, the one with RK Spookware though, the 3D printed firearms one. I
Oh,
enjoyed immensely.
that was excellent. Yes, he knows his stuff, and it's something that's a tricky subject to talk about in England without getting
Yes.
yourself into serious looty danger territory. 'Cause they really do not like you over here talking about the fact that it's actually remarkably easy to do this sort of stuff. And it's something I'd looked at briefly, because I like to play airsoft, and I was just like, you know, I wonder if I can make airsoft guns and 3D print them. Not worth it. Not worth even going anywhere near that. You start even looking like you're going to do something like that, and you're going to end up with boys in blue so far up various orifices searching you for whatever they feel like. It's nightmarish. So yes, stick to what is legal at the present moment, and enjoy that. But 3D printing stuff like that is a bit risky, considering what they did to good Mr. Lutie, who really just wanted to prove a point. Ren, he wasn't a terrorist, as far as I can tell.
Mr. Lutie. Despite his name, he was not someone who was into looting.
No,
but he was very much into his free expression, and that's where I got him. God, by the time we got to episode 14, though, when we did the history of the Forever Wars, that is the first stream that got somebody into trouble. But it wasn't actually us, because it was Evelyn who restated, actually helped come up with that joke.
Yes.
I put it in the stream resources.
You did.
If you want to get it on.
Let's see if I can find. Yeah, hold on. Give me a second.
The slide itself, the actual slide that we used on stream, was actually a lot spicier than even what she said. GC Mitz, that was Luti. I'm not sure how you actually spell Luti. It's Luti's machine gun, if you want to. There it is. If you want to Google Luti machine gun, you'll end up on a wash list. But
that is real.
He published a book basically about how to make a submachine gun using stuff from a hardware store. And he was proving a point that the firearms laws don't make any sense, because anyone with a base level of technical skill can make a firearm. Basically, you have to make all technical knowledge illegal to enforce it. And unfortunately, he did actually make a couple of his prototypes. Never injured anyone with them, never did anything with them. Really, but he got set up basically. The police looked for any excuse they could to harass him until they were able to prove that he had made one. So he basically became essentially a free, I don't say free speech martyr, because it kind of cringe, but really he was somebody who tried to prove a point and ended up losing out because of it.
And he's not quite a Marvin Hemeli, but he's not far off. But certainly he was yes, very badly treated by the British government, and so was his family, if I remember rightly. He caught a lot of stuff, but yes, here is the I'm just gonna keep it on there very quickly. There was the famous get everyone into trouble comment about the LGBT.
Well, the thing is, the joke makes sense.
Yes.
In fact, it was even to explain to the policeman when he came here, even though I never actually saw him, because I was actually streaming at the time. I was doing Seal of Approval with Rose of Dawn.
So was I. We were both on there. We were both on there going, what's going on downstairs? Yeah.
It's the basic rainbow bombs point, that they kind of rainbow wash bombing civilians in Middle Eastern countries by having the it's okay because they're gay bombs.
Yeah,
not to be confused with the other gay bomb from DARPA.
it's okay when the Democrats do it. They're LGBT friendly and they like brown people. It's not racist or homophobic. They just want you to stop getting married in that particular way, so they're going to pulverize all of your wedding guests.
Yes.
Because old Uncle Muhammad, who wasn't actually there, said something spicy to someone once. Yeah.
it's get you a man who looks at you like Obama looks at a Yemeni wedding.
Oh, Jesus.
I wish I'd say that's from an account of somebody I used to know on who used to be on Twitter. Unfortunately, he got, like me, he's perennially banned. But that was one of his better ones.
That has yeah. That is on the Scoville scale, without a doubt. That is some spice to it. Damn. Not wrong though.
Well, I think one of the other streams I hear mentioned as well, about more breadth of history is the Tony Blair special that we did, which really I think was part of the springboard for us doing the democratization stuff.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And in fact, I saw Jess posting about something today, going, they don't measure inflation like they did 20 years ago. And I was like, yeah, that's because Tony Blair and Gordon Brown just changed how they do all the metrics, because they were cocking everything up left, right, and center, and they realized they were, so they just redid all of the metrics for crime statistics, for poverty, for ethnicity, for just about every type of statistic and metric that was measured, so that it looked like everything was going down when in fact they were going up. And
Yes, they rigged the scales. Well, the measure of inflation has changed about five or six times in subtle ways.
yeah.
And the way that Tony Blair set it up meant that the CPI is very flexible. It's a rotating basket of goods in which they can place anything. It used to be that like CDs were still in it in about 2016, 2017, to put that in context. It was all kinds of weird stuff. Like you'll see it every year. It's like, oh, what's in the CPI basket this year? It's such a farce. But yeah, it's if you change the math, you're not in a recession. It's very true that that's we really pulled on a lot of threads that showed like that the Blair regime is an end point of a process, and we'll get there eventually. But at some point, I would like to go, from the 1950s all the way to Tony Blair and all the way to essentially the Tony Blair's first term and getting to 9/11, which I think is a hard cutoff point. But that's something we've been threatening to do for more than a year now, but we will get there eventually.
Yeah, well, there's been a few things we've been threatening to do. I remember, what was it? We were gonna do. Oh God, my brain's just had it in my head, and it just shot out of it. The Norse mythology, one that
Oh, you mean
isn't
Hyperborea? Yeah, we've got all the
Hyperborea.
notes.
That, yeah.
We've got all the notes for that, and we are going to do it at some point.
Good.
I've had people bothering me for that too, so we're going to have to schedule that one out.
We do.
In fact, I'm thinking of doing that. Probably it'll probably be in September, actually, I'd say.
Okay.
I have the notes for it, and I'm going to try and make September more about doing specials like that, because I've got
Okay.
a whole bunch of stuff planned out. That's kind of my idea anyway. Whether it'll work or not, I don't know, because we have to do a lot of work for it. But I've been quietly building up a whole bunch of notes so we can, for want of a better term, just whip them out when we need them. Have all the material there ready set for when we're ready to do it. There's a l yeah.
I was gonna say, I ran into a film not so long ago, which I was sat there going, you know what, this is almost Hyperborean mythology, but not.
Wake up, Joe.
Your Hunter from the Future, which is a really, really, really dodgy 1983,
Oh, you see.
iffy movie. But oh boy, that is this touching on so many bits of that type of mythology in there. It's kind of fun,
Your
but not.
Hunter from the Future is hilarious.
It is. It's a great film.
God, that film always reminds me of. It's like Lost. No one really remembers him anymore because he's from a previous generation. Spoonie. It reminds me of like classic Spoonie and makes me sad. Because he's somebody who went on like a very bad trajectory of being a an online content creator from the very, very early days, and his Your Hunter from the Future is one of his better ones.
Oh, I didn't know he'd done one of the on Your Hunt of the, because that is it is such a funny film. It's on par with The Hawk the Slayer, which is
Yes.
another absolute classic.
I do like Hawk the Slayer. Didn't we watch that together at one
We
point?
did. We sat there and watched it in my server with some of the guys, and everyone absolutely died laughing when the special effects kicked in at the end, which was essentially silly string and bouncy balls.
Yes, it was actually Silly String and Bouncy Balls. Oh God, that's hilarious.
But it's got Jack Palance in it, and all sorts of actually sort of half decent actors, and a bunch of people from the old Carry On. It's all 1980s and late 1970s stuff. But there's decent actors in there. It's just very, very little known film. The amount of people that haven't seen it though. The amount of people I know that play games like D&D that haven't seen that film. I'm gonna have to
It
sort
was
of.
very, very influential in those. Like
Oh yeah.
most of the people who were involved in like the late 70s, early 80s kind of fantasy scene had seen all of those,
Awesome.
or at least they got access to them when they could. There was a big thing I think of like bootleg, or low price kind of like rental VHSs of that film in the US, and that's where a lot of people learned of it.
Crazy thing is, and I'm going to advertise that they are both Yore and Hawk the Slayer are in full on YouTube at the
Yes, they
moment,
are.
just hidden away in all sort of corners where nobody goes on YouTube, and they're there. I strongly suggest people watch them and download them before they do get deleted. But yeah, brilliant film, great fun. But yes, Yore. When I watched Yore, which was quite recently, I was like, oh my God, this is. I'm surprised someone hasn't labeled this Nazi propaganda or something.
I'm surprised it's not as known as it is, because I guess there's films like Zardoz, which are sillier, and I'd say less enjoyable. Zardoz is a slog in a lot of bits of it, but Zardoz is quite famous for that one image of Sean Connery,
Oh God, that film. Yes.
in what looks like some sort of proto 70s mankini. Tell you what, I'll see if I can find a high res non. There we go. Here we go. Here's a 4K image. You can get it up
Oh dear
on
God.
stream.
Okay.
Oh, my file. Your files are too. Fuck you, Discord. Here
Is
you go. I'll link to it directly. There we
your
go.
file too powerful?
Yeah, it's in stream resources. But this is a very famous image, and
Oh dear God.
yeah. The gun, yeah, canonical foreigner knows the gun is good, but the penis is evil. It's fun in concept, but the film itself is not actually that enjoyable. It's disappointing to watch, honestly, Zardoz.
It's the thigh length boots as well. That's
Yeah.
a strong image, that is. But
That's
hey,
a
there you go.
very, very strong image.
Let's have Alex grinning at that
Well, it's got the floating heads, it's got the costumes, it doesn't have much else.
It, yeah.
It's not quite The Room in terms of how like so bad it's bad it is, but it's getting a little bit close in some areas.
Oof.
I'd argue Hawk of the Slayer is a much more fun watch throughout,
Oh,
but
totally. Totally.
I like that you put it with
Come on, we've got Alex, the Alex meme box. We may as well use the Alex meme box. Oh dear. Bopsk? Did I just say Bopsk?
Bopsked. You did say bopsked, yes.
Right. Yes. But yeah, no, really.
There's again, when we started doing this though, the Koof stuff was maybe 6 months old. I think, like I said, it was November.
I
So yeah, it
think
was 6, 7 months old.
yes, and we were already very, very tired of it. And I mean, I'll be the first to put my hands up when the first of the news of the coup going off was out. It was a case of okay, this they've released something really freaking nasty from China, and it's going to do horrible numbers on horrible things to people. And by 3 or 4 months in, it was just like, oh, this is nothing. This is an utter nonsense. And by that point, when we started doing this, it was, well, had the vaccine actually come out at that point? Because I've had
No.
no
There was
end,
no vaccine at that point, I don't think.
Of people that I know that have had really bad reactions to that shit. And it was just like, no, I'm not touching it. No
Yep,
way
same.
on earth am I touching it, but.
It's looking in retrospect now, it was such a burning issue, and it really, I think, reached its fever pitch in kind of like the mandates and the bans and all the stuff in Canada in 2021.
Yeah.
And now it's just, it really did just shut off with the Ukraine stuff starting.
Yeah, without a doubt. The moment Ukraine hit, COVID, nobody can be bothered with it. The only people that wear the masks these days are people that are trying to do mass shooting and failing, like that guy recently, the
Oh yes, he did.
day.
There's God, there's been a lot of like I think we need to bring out the federal incandescent scale again. That has been sorely lacking, but unfortunately, everything recently has been like a 10. We had to retire the scale because it became a bit redundant. I mean, if you look at the like the Patriot Front stuff and them supposedly like bundling into the U-Haul in broad daylight in the middle of a green somewhere with journalists everywhere and getting photo op arrested. It's just, it is so far. Like, get the broken. There's like, yeah, the broken scale. It's just, that is what the image we just have to use all the time because everything has become so glowy. Like, there's the whole Texas shooting thing where it seems that the safe narrative now has become that, the police were cowards, which they were. But it reminded me of, have you ever heard the story of the South Korean ferry disaster, and what happened there
The South
with all
Korean
the,
ferry disaster.
yes, it was one of the things that brought down, the woman who was part of the cult, her government.
I think I know. Yes, wasn't she the one that ended up beating some poor woman on a flight or something? Was that something else that was? Oh, okay.
I do not remember that, but it might well be. But yeah, the U-Haul glow is no, sorry, my kind of phone. Yeah, the South Korean ferry disaster. A lot of children died basically, and there was
Oh God, no.
basically a cover up of it.
No, this
But
is something
a
else.
lot of the blame went to the Coast Guard when a lot of it was the ineptitude of the people in charge. I'd like to know with the Texas shooting who was supposedly in command of the scene. And it sounded like they were constantly told to wait for backup. I don't know who's giving that. It honestly felt like they were giving stands down orders.
It does, yeah, certainly that was it Uvedi or whatever, however it's pronounced, the thing that happened
Yeah.
in Tesco in
Yule,
Texas.
the Americans call it Yule-aid, but I don't know
Yeah,
how.
it did sound a lot like you know what, I'm looking at this South Korean ferry disaster. This reminds me of the one that happened in just outside Greece, where the captain was showing off to his girlfriend and beached the
Oh,
damn
the Costa Concordia.
Costa Concordia. Yeah,
Yeah,
that.
it's like the Costa Concordia if like 600 children died.
Oh. Oh,
No, it.
Jesus Christ. Okay, yeah, a bit worse. A bit worse then. Jeez.
It was okay, 304 children, but still. That's, well, not
One is too many,
it,
Scrump. One is
yeah.
too many.
It, yeah, it was really, really bad, and it brought back memories of that, because there was
Damn, this is really
the
bad
yeah, it
then,
was
yeah.
the
Is this?
MV Seawall is the that disaster. But it reminded me of that in that, yes, the security forces were inept, but there was also a lot of blame at like higher levels that nobody's really talking about. Yeah, the children were told to stay and wait for help whilst the people in charge fled with the lifeboats. Yeah. But a lot of that kind of came from like the presidential palace was on the phone directly. It was all kinds of stuff like that.
What you find in Korea, South Korea is it a lot of the companies are very much a still family businesses, and this it was different, but there was a story a while back of a it was a Korean airline, and one of the owner's daughters or somebody from the family got on there and basically in America prior to takeoff started beating one of the hostesses publicly on the aircraft because she had the wrong thing delivered in her first class cabin on the aircraft and ended up in all sorts of problems because
I
you
th yeah, I think that
that's
was the minister,
assault.
yeah.
That's yeah, no, you have some very weird shit going off with the Koreans because it's very closed down family business. And you know what family businesses can be like? They all look after each other at the top, and it's their little fiefdoms. And much as I am I am kind of pro
It was
monarchy on some level.
he was
Sometimes it
the
does go
vice
bad.
president of Korean Air,
There we
the
go.
airline. Cho Hyun Ao. It's known as the nut rage incident. She got she
That's right.
apparently she got the wrong nuts.
She got the wrong nuts and she just beat the crap out of some hostess. Yeah. That was a while back now. Yes, but honestly, South Koreans, they are they sometimes if they think they are, I mean, they own the joint, but they do act like it sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, she. I think it was she was served the nuts in a bag rather than on a plate. Which is. Why would you serve them on a plate? On a. The turbulence, the nuts will go everywhere. Wow.
Look, she knows
Don't.
how she
Yeah.
likes her nuts being presented to
Yeah, it is literally called the nut rage incident. Was it immediately followed by the nut depression incident?
Nuts were not
Oh,
presented
dearie.
properly. A beating ensued. I mean,
Tell you what, since people have seemed curious, do you want to go into a little bit of some of the stuff you've been up to? I know you've been doing the D&D campaign. We can kind of use it as an opportunity to shill a little bit. Since a lot of people might not be, I know that's not everyone's cup of tea, but if, a lot of people might not be familiar with kind of what you've been doing
I
there.
mean, I can, yeah. I've been essentially running two D&D campaigns, one on a Monday and one on a Sunday. Just started the one on Sunday. I think we're 5 episodes in. Got easily run the one on Sunday as well. Essentially, sort of set in Earth. But one was in the 14th century during the Hundred Years' War. And the second one, the one on Sunday, is now set in 1777. So
Okay.
the War of Independence.
Immediate post-revolution, yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
it's well,
immediate
no,
post-separation.
it's actually in the middle of that war. Now, the war
Okay.
started in 1776, but didn't end until 1778, 1779. But because things have changed, because of things that the party have done, basically France has been wiped out. The Hundred Years' War
Hey.
is now the 60 Years' War, and France becomes a colony
Hey.
of England, which, of course, in 1777 means that the Americans don't have the help of the French. It does mean that certain technologies
Le
have changed,
gasp.
indeed. So, and you know what? I've had some themes running through there. So there's the Western enslavement firm that have been running around. Trying to sort of do their little bit of trading throughout the world, and so we've got a nice head of that particular organization there, who I've just done some artwork for today.
I'm assuming on that a little bit.
So
There
I'm
we go.
gonna
That's
shill.
pretty good artwork, actually. I like that.
I was just sad that I have a whole bunch of those little sort of templates that I use for making creative. Little sort of character tokens, and I just started doodling, and went, you know what, I need to do a Klaus Schwab token, and I'm really proud of that. I know it's not,
It's very chibi. It's chibi swab, yeah.
it's Shibby Schwab, yeah, exactly, but it's uncanny. It sits there looking at me, and I was just like, God, that actually really looks like him. It's a bit creepy.
Really does look like you've captured his essence. You've done it.
It's the eyes, right? It is the eyes, the eyebrows. And the eyes are running at two parallel lines, pointing towards the middle of his face. And once you've got those, and then you've got that sort of twisted, smiley, smirky grimace, and then the lines coming off the nose. The rest of it, you basically do that onto an egg, and it would look like Klaus Schwab. I think
He
it.
just looks like a cartoon character. He looks like a cartoon villain. That's what's so funny about him, especially in his weird fucking robes.
I
He
know.
does look like a cartoon villain.
Who wears that outfit? There's literally a picture of him wearing that sort of those that big flared sort of triangular It looks like a dark Jedi outfit. It's like who in there? No good guy. No good guy in popular media has ever worn that outfit. You are clearly a villain.
No.
I showed it to Di today, and she was just like, "God, that looks like Voldemort." I was just like, "Oh, Harry Potter. Why Harry Potter?" But yeah, no, it's he is. I'm very pleased with Chibi Schwab. He's awful, and of
Yeah,
course, we have to do the
he looks
gig.
more like Blofeld than Blofeld.
Yes, but we have to do him with a slightly camp gay German accent when we do Klaus, when he is dealing
Well,
with the.
he has that, you see.
I know,
Because
right?
he kind of bridges the gap. It's like half. It's that like pan-European accent. It's that like half German, half that Brussels accent,
There
really.
is two
You know,
German
the
accents. There is the
yeah.
Einreich, Ein Volk, and etc. That's harsh and angry and guttural, and it hurts my throat to do it. And then there's the really camp German accent, which is, you know.
Bavarians are bad for being the second type.
Yes.
Because I was actually in Germany for a couple of months. It was before the refugee crisis, thank God. It was before Germany essentially got fucking ruined, even more so. That was back, God, that was 9 years ago now. That was back in like 2013, just before the refugee crisis, really. But I went to Munich there, and good Lord, people do have camp accents there.
It really is. It's yeah. It's it. There is two German accents. So there is camp German and there is angry German.
And there is nothing in between.
And there is literally nothing in between. Where is it? I'll find you the picture I used as a basis for that little thing. But yeah, no. It's been quite fun actually using Klaus Schwab as a villain, because he just fits the bill so well. There you go.
It's
No,
that's pretty good.
I shit you not. Look at the difference. There's Well, let's make that a little larger. I mean, who dresses like that? That is pure Sith Lord here.
It is extreme Sith Lord. It is Sith Lord to the nth degree, I agree.
No. There you go. So yeah, Chibi Schwab to real Schwab. I'm not quite sure which gives me more chills to look at. Definitely that one. Jesus Christ, that's terrifying. Let's go back
Yeah,
to.
as captured, yeah, as much as you capture his essence, it's still not quite as disturbing as the real thing.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I need to do a couple more, actually. I think we might have to have a Hillary necromancer or something in there, maybe. As but yeah, I'm trying to do D&D, but with modern characters, evil takes, and sort of be a bit hyperbolic. But yes, in fact, you know what? We could do an evil German Hillary.
We are. That could work.
Yes.
I don't know, not to be too smug, but a lot of people when we started doing the channel on some of our earlier streams were talking about the fact that we were too pessimistic, we were too black pill, things weren't that bad, things were gonna get better, things were gonna bounce back, and I don't think I think we've been borne out in what we've said, honestly. If anything,
Yeah.
in some of the streams we're a little bit gentle with people.
I think so too. I really do. I think yeah, we might have been a bit hyperbolic. I mean, I know certainly during the election I was too hopeful. After the election, after those vertical spikes, and it was just like, this is I deal with large numbers and probability all the time, and you never see anything like that happening. You might see it once in a blue moon, but you're not in six, seven, eight, not however many times it happened all at the same time. No. And I was quite hopeful that legal cases were going to be raised and it was going to be overthrown, but no.
Well, it became a very good worked example to people about how you can't do this within the process. And within the process, they really can just say what goes. And it's a great demonstration of sovereign power versus popular myth.
I had had my faith in the process restored in 2016 when both Trump got elected and Brexit had happened in that year. There was a large part of me that was like, holy crap, I've always doubted it, but maybe democracy kind of works. Maybe people voting for
It's
something,
kicking in.
it's maybe people are becoming, maybe we're getting rid of this. Maybe we're sorting this out. No, it was a blip. They dropped the ball briefly, and I'm not even sure if they did that. I am, maybe they did, maybe they
No,
didn't.
it's
This
I
point.
still have people like I still have people that I talk to who suffer from like the 2016 brain stuff, and they're like, "Look, guys, we need to make sure they don't, we need to protect Brexit. Brexit was a watershed moment," and you have to like ask those people, like, "What's materially changed? Like, what in your local community, what in your noticeable life has materially changed because of the Brexit vote?" And the answer is things have mostly just got worse. And things have mostly just continued on the track that they've been on, and things have got more globalized. Taxes are higher, borrowing's higher, the economics have gone left, the social stuff has gone left. What has this monumental event actually achieved? And people just kind of, again, that's why the whole black pill accusations come out, and people be like, well, you can't give up on the process. It's just like, I think if you look at the stuff we've been talking about early on in the channel, and you look at this reality now, you'll see that we were, if anything, maybe slightly too optimistic in some aspects.
I mean, neither of us exactly saw. I mean, there was hints towards what happened in Ukraine, but even what happened in Ukraine, don't forget that earlier this year, there was a member of the WEF that got taken out of all of the websites of the WEF. They took a photograph of
Yes.
a member of the WEF off all of the websites just after the war in Ukraine, because it doesn't do the WEF any good to have people go, hold on a second, Vladimir Putin was part of the WEF because he was.
Yeah.
So, is this all part of the plan? I don't know. I don't know, but I daren't hazard too many guesses that, this is all just a big sham at this point. And
It's
is it
well,
worse than we think it may be? I'm not
we
afraid
did
it's
do a
going to go to
stream.
nuclear war, though. We did.
Yes, we did do a stream about it before, saying that it was unlikely to happen. Which it honestly, at the time, it looked like it was, because it was a very. It didn't really seem in anyone's benefit. And to be fair, like I having, I unfortunately wasn't able to be there for the discussion, but I've heard it secondhand from, because I'm part of a Zoom group with some people, and I managed to, like, there was a talk with some British people that I know, and like Alexander Dugin about this, but Putin's kind of one of his ideological, well, advisors really, about the fact that this hasn't. It looks like it might have benefited, somebody on paper, but really it's just a mess.
It's
And I
a,
don't think this
yeah.
is part of the plan. And the whole thing, like, I don't understand the cheerleading that went on there, and the people going, "Ha! I told you so. Look, there is a pointless war." It's like, well, tactically, it made no sense. If it was going to go in, it should have gone in 2014 when the Crimea situation happened. There's a lot of propaganda that's been, like, embarrassing propaganda from the West that's made them look stupid. Like, nobody comes out of this. Any materially better, and it's very sad geopolitics. Because a lot of people have also accused me of, Russian cheerleading. It's just like I'm pointing out how silly a lot of the Western propaganda's been, but ultimately there's no real point in cheerleading anybody. I don't understand people's warfare cheerleading. We do have a donation though. Thank you for the £2 super chat there. JD says, but institution Burke has so much to answer for. Yes,
Yes.
Burke does have quite a lot to answer for. Oh well, thank you, Edmund. Not very cool. Oh dear. Yeah, if Brexit actually happened, the whole thing is it was very nebulous, and that really did. You're right that there was that whole period in 2015, 2016, when people it got very we're winning guys, and then snap back to reality. Oop, there goes gravity, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it did feel like it briefly. I mean, not very long in England, because immediately we ended up with what's her face in power, and she was awful. God, I've forgotten her name. My brain's gone. Awful
Theresa
ro
May.
yeah, Theresa May, awful robotic woman, terrible, terrible woman. M Little Miss Snooper's Charter. Little Miss, you can't have anything encrypted. I won't be able to read your email if you encrypt it. It's one of the few times where the banks have actually turned around to the politicians and went, N no, you can't do that. That's idiotic.
Like,
Sh
that's
shut up.
technically impossible.
Shut up, you stupid politician.
Shut up. Shut up. Oh dear. Well, it looks like we're going to have a sequel quite soon. There might be,
Oh, trust.
Going to say, if Thatcher was the Iron Lady, then Truss is going to be the Cheese Lady.
Yeah. She was looking very happy about selling pork to China the other day. Well, I don't know if it was the other day. It was a meme that I saw being sent around. And is it going to be her? Is it going to does
Possibly.
possibly? See, I mean, there's no good options. There's no good options, because, to be perfectly honest, say what you like. I was talking to my fr oh, my friend Doc, the other day about it, and he was just like, you know what? Well, say what you like about Boris. Say what you like about any of the politicians. As far as I'm concerned, they are essentially actors. It is largely the
Yes.
civil service that writes the script, does the lighting and the direction. These guys just go up there and act out what the civil service put in front of them. And Boris is funny, at least. I mean, they're all as useless as each other. They're all as corrupt and evil as each other. And by and large, I don't actually, it's, I almost don't hold the politicians responsible for what happens, because it is essentially a script that they are given, as far as I can tell, by
There's a
civil.
lot of outside interest, especially global interest at the moment. Yeah, it's it, the it, so the fact that someone like Liz Truss or Penny Mordaunt had a genuine possibility of being the prime minister to show that that office actually holds very little power.
Yeah. Well, I mean, same in America. Have you seen who they've got running the show? I mean, wow. You know what it is time for, though? With all these super chats and donations that have come
What is
running
it
in,
time for?
it is time for a certain Mr. Fischenberg to have a quick lean in. Because we've had another couple of chats. Super chats, an actual super chat as well. Two. Another one from JD and one from Matty Ice. I think Theresa May ran the Home Office when that high-profile child abuse case file that they were building got lost. Yeah, I think that's about right, Matty. I think you are. Yeah.
She ran the same kind of interference that Keir Starmer did,
Yes.
basically.
Yeah. Exactly. I was about to say that. Keir Starmer is another one. It's again. You've got no, you, there's your two choices. You've got Tories, you've got Labour. Are they dirty? They're both filthy. They're filthy up to their neck in it. And it's, oh, where did they go to school? Oh, well, they went to Oxford. Oh, well, they went to Oxford. Were they a part of the Bullingdon Club? Yes. How much do they actually differ? Not at all.
Well, you've got Liz Truss, who's basically an empty pantsuit, and
Oh, God. Okay, that's an image. Yes.
she's not an empty suit, she's an empty pantsuit. But you've also got Sunak, who
Oh.
is he is like an advert for the term dual loyalties because of his heavy connections to like Indian power brokers. He is a great example of why you don't let Brahmin caste people from other cultures into your government structure.
was
It's
about to
like a
say, is Brahmin. Yeah.
textbook.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a textbook case. God, it's.
I tell you want a look at an actually privileged group, the Brahmins, and that particular caste of it from India. Boy, oh boy, that's some serious privilege and some serious, even that little clip of the interview where he's there going, oh, I know people that are aristocrats and I know people that are working class. Well, no, not working class, of course, but they are about as upper class and distanced from reality as you can get.
Well, as I think, as we talked about a little bit, that they are very much like a technocratic class as well. They don't have that. The old British aristocracy had that aloofness that they weren't supposed to interfere in the lives of the small people. That wasn't their business. Whereas the Brahmins are supposed to be, they're supposed to be the meddlers. They're supposed to be the micromanagers. They're kind of the natural technocrats. That's why you see them so much in Silicon Valley. It's why you see them so much in the US government in places now, and just in the UK government, is that they have this natural affinity for this globalist nonsense that goes on. Like certain other let's say managerial castes as well, but that's not something we can say on yeah, 1920, yeah, Lord Curzon, 2022, room temp IQ, Liz Truss, yes. Dear.
Why have I got that song playing in my head all of a sudden? Anyway, yes, Brahmin caste, like others, other groups are nightmarish, and I will stop humming "Fiddler on the Roof" in my head in a minute. Once that song gets in, it just never
Oh,
goes away.
I have a meme for you actually, if I can
Go on.
find it. Oh no, where is it? Where is it? I think I start here. It is here. Since you started singing "Fiddler on the Roof," here's a perfect meme for you. Put that one up on screen. I think people will
Okay,
like it.
where are oh
You see, I post that and people don't get it. Because not many people remember Fiddler on the Roof. I'm surrounded by Zoomers sometimes. It's kind of depressing.
Oh yeah, I know the feeling.
Well, at least you get it, Trig. At least you understand.
Yes.
What the meme's supposed to accomplish.
It's a good song. What can I say?
Dear. Dear. I mean,
Oh.
Fiddler on the Roof is close enough anyway, but.
Yeah. You know what? He became a rich man. Yeah. Speaking of which, Ghislaine Maxwell, put away, rightly so.
Of course.
For trafficking the children to powerful and influential people, none of which have been named.
Funny that.
It's funny that, isn't it? Yeah.
Little weird.
Oh
Oh well. Let's get on with
well.
our day. What's on Love Island this week? eat your gruel, peasants.
Yeah.
God, there's a lot of that, but it's again, I like that Epstein didn't kill himself, became a meme, but I wish more people would, action on that knowledge. It's the same with the whole thing with God, I was talking about Weinstein the other day. I don't think we've really covered that. Maybe we should just do a really spicy episode about those scandals altogether and talk about some implications of the use of Mossad agents in both of them. But I don't know. Maybe we don't want to speed run getting thrown off this platform quite that quickly.
It is funny that it is a certain one group of people, by that I mean wealthy elite Americans.
Yes. Of course. God. Well, we did. To be fair, I think me and Evelyn skirted the edges of that with the quantum small hat paradox stream. We talk about there's also the fact that like Ashkenazis and Sephardics like hate each other and don't like a lot of the don't consider each other like real members, real tribe members, which is endlessly funny to me.
Yes.
The kind of weird infighting there.
S. Smith mentioning, yes, of course, the McAfee stream was a good one. The McAfee stream makes me sad because...
Yes, it does.
John McAfee is kind of my spirit animal. I mean, there are pictures out there of me rocking that beard and moustache and looking a little bit too much like John McAfee for comfort's sake these days.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to...
Just in case someone's wandering around with thinking that that price is still up, that bounty is still up, I could get McAfee'd by accident. But,
the man who got McAfee'd by accident, oh dear. That's exactly what we didn't want to happen.
Yes.
Yeah, I enjoy the McAfee stream, but it's... I think a lot of people talked about it as a happening, but didn't really properly talk about the man. Because he was somebody who was very much outside.
Oh, yeah.
Of the methods of control. That's why he was gotten rid of, essentially.
He was a wild man. He was an absolute wild man. He went in there and you know, made a load of money, got himself a good little antivirus package, got involved with the government.
Sold it very early. Yeah. Then got endlessly pestered about it. Like, Notch still gets pestered about Minecraft. Poor guy.
Yep. All that stuff that happened to him in South America. Whether or not all of it is as he said or not, I don't know.
A lot of it, having looked into it, a lot of it does seem to be.
It does.
Pretty much how he said it went down.
Yes.
I'd be surprised if it wasn't, but that's just me. Maybe I'm being too much the benefit. I just like the man, you know? He was very likable.
He was fun.
I was quite sad that it really just became another story of the week rather than people looking more closely at his rather extraordinary life story and some of the extraordinary kind of circumstances a bit wider with some of the stuff he'd been involved in too. Because I don't know, some of the stuff he may have gathered may or may not surface at some point. There's a lot of people out there who... have encrypted files. They've never quite been decrypted, but he may have the last laugh in the end. Also, whilst we've been talking, I've made another meme.
Oh yeah. Whilst we've been talking, Matty has just put in another super chat. So as you mentioned, doing a stream around evidence that a lot of the global elite are Satanists, cultists, etc. South Korea talk reminded me. I would go for cultists. Just because I'm reading a lot of this stuff at the moment. Satanist is a bit of a broad term and a bit of not an actual one.
It is.
Because seems to be a lot of stuff about Moloch. Moloch seems to be one of them, which is a fallen angel. But
there's hints we've seen of it.
Yeah.
There's hints we've seen of the fact that they have their own internal culture, their own internal rituals, and to an extent their own internal religion.
You start heading towards Pizzagate and some Alex Jones tier, you know, tier stuff. that song. I'm going to get a link for that song. You know, I'm angry.
I'm angry.
I've had enough of these people.
That's great. If you can at some point search yourself up like Alex Jones folk song, basically, it's excellent. But no, that's again, I've still got the notes for that. The stream we were going to do was really about the kind of the internal culture as we can fathom it from the outside, as has come out of things like Skull and Bones and the Bohemian Society, the Bohemian Grove, some of the other secret societies the Bullingdon Club, and other kind of elite organizations and structures, and some of the Podesta stuff was a lot of that got unfortunately wrapped up in the Q stuff, but some of that is interesting when they talk about the whole spirit cooking thing, and it's very clear that they have different bounds and they are very interested in things that normal people would consider a conspiracy theory. It's almost like one big conspiracy theories that turn out to be real thing. Yeah, the S. Smith talking about the Bilderberg Group, which is it's. Let me see if I've still got that one. I might still have the. God, that is an old, a
Do I have
very,
it?
very, very old joke from somebody that genuinely did think that the Bilderberg Group was the Bilderberg Group, because he came into, this is like prehistory. But when I used to found it, there we go. I used to do a little bit of writing for a site called Super Nerdland. It's a little bit on hold right now, honestly, the site. It's a little bit not been updated for a bit. But I'm still friends with Josh and a lot of the people over there. And the guy we used to do a podcast with called Rye, bless him, he was like a machine shop guy, very, very kind of all the earth. But he was the guy who was like, I heard you guys talking about it. Like, what do you guys have against Build-A-Bear Workshop? And it's like, I'm like, what? It's like, well, you guys are always talking about the Build-A-Bear Group. And I'm like, are you joking? He's like, no, man, I'm serious. What's that? I'm just like, no, it's not the Bilderberg Group. It's the Bilderberg Group, because he must have never heard of it, which a lot of normies haven't heard of it. But yeah, the Bilderberg Group. That happened during fucking Gamergate. That happened in like early 2015. I've been laughing at that for like 7 years, and it's still funny. The Bilderberg Group. Right.
First thing,
I don't.
they start
I.
with you, they get your children, and that's it. From there on in, it's
Yeah. Those are not just innocent bears, you know. These aren't your parents' bears. Yeah, Bilderberg Group is maybe less nefarious than the Bilderberg Group. Apart from that stuff, are there any other kind of streams that we've done that stand out to people? I don't know. There's a lot of familiar faces here. I know, like I said, we've been threatening to a lot of streams, and a lot of them are like we've not decided not to do them. We're just very busy. There's a lot of new topics that come up that we try and at least stay relevant. There's kind of a fine balance between the punditry, the deep dives, the theory stuff, and also the slightly more off the wall specials that we do. Oh yeah, at some point we actually need to do a proper 9/11 special.
Disasters that never happen. We have done quite a lot of really quite interesting ones. And then again, we dived straight into the democratization stuff, and we spent a long time, and it
We
was
did spend a long
very,
time doing
very
that.
good.
It was difficult. And like I said, I think people are still working. I still get people messaging me. I still see comments on that series, so there are still people working through it, because it is, we did do a couple of 3 hour plus episodes, and I
Oh
know a lot of
yeah,
people
at least
will
so some
split
four and a
stuff up.
half and so on. Yeah, that was it was a big stream. I know I've said that I was going to take them all or download them all and try and separate them up into bite-sized chunks. I know you were thinking of, but it's.
I tried that actually. I downloaded some of them. I started making episodes out of them, and honestly, they need to be that long, because the hole is so big. Like they do actually need to be that long. With the notes we've got and some of the on-stream stuff, though, I think over the next year, Evelyn's thinking about trying to turn it into a book.
Okay, cool.
So we'll see if we can actually build something out of it as that's, you know, actually long form. Like it's gonna be like a good solid like 400 page book at least. So that's something on the back burner. We have a lot of ideas, and I again we try not to engage in too much punditry, but there's a lot of stuff that I think isn't framed correctly in a lot of even non-mainstream coverage. So I think there needs to be ways of talking about it. I know a few people were a bit confused by our Sri Lanka stream, because we skimmed over a lot of the China stuff. China is very was very, very prevalent in their pre-2010 history, but post-2010 they started courting the West a lot more heavily. And that's really what we're focusing on. And that's kind of the problem is like wide gap versus narrow focus. You get a lot of people who think that you're not giving a subject its due if you do a narrow focus on a bit of it, but also if you do a breadth of it, you're not able to cover much detail, and people will, it's difficult. Honestly, I don't think I think some of the specials that we talked about, I think everyone might be unhappy if we don't do them correctly. So that's why we've taken so much time in trying to get all the materials together. But every so often I'll go on an internet hunt and I'll get two or three links for, a possible stream, and those are coming, guys. We promise you. They will all come eventually. We just we have to really do them. We want to do them right. So, and honest, past 6 months, I would say we've all had a lot less time.
Yes. Yes.
So it's,
And
I'd say,
touch wood,
yeah.
I might have a job soon. I'm employing for a load more. The job I thought I was going to get didn't come. But I you know what I might actually I've 'cause I've done a load of training recently. I think I told you I'm now basically a fully qualified business consultant and project leader using various methodologies. I might go into being a full-time contractor on that front, which, if that happens, that will be me down for a couple of months at a time at least. But
Yes, I have a similar thing in that I'm, if you look through the history of the channel, you can kind of tell there's periods where we've all been busier. We did have a bit of a break, after the election stuff, I think. There was a bit of a break in the channel, in early 2021. We had like a couple in February, one in March, and then the channel really didn't start in moving again until we did the history of the Forever Wars,
Yes.
and then we kind of launched into all the democratization stuff, and there was like a freight train of content right up until I got this latest job. But you can kind of tell when we got busy, and when we all kind of came in and out of different life situations. If you kind of track some of the frequency on the channel, you can actually kind of it's funny looking at it. I can kind of track when I started this job, when I was away for a bit, when I was doing other contract work and stuff like that. So thank you guys for bearing with us, because we do this just in our spare time. This is no one's job really.
No.
So
No. And I mean, I've been really enjoying some of the stuff you've done with Avalon without me being around. Has been
well, you've been yeah. Well, you were very well. I don't wanna be like Trigg's a very old man, but Trigg's been having like a well-deserved rest after like many years of very like you've been very heavily employed, let's say, for a long time.
Yes.
So
Yes.
you deserve a little bit of neatness. And also, we don't talk about it on here very often, but you've had a couple of health issues and medical issues over the past few years that have been,
Yeah, you know,
and I imagine, very frustrating.
it turns out that sitting in an office doing quite high powered and stressful jobs for 20 to 30 years, tapping away constantly on a keyboard, is actually bad for your health. And with what the human being is actually sort of cut out and more designed to do is run around in woods and hunt things
Yes.
and actually sort of be more at one with the outside world and not sat in a room tapping on a keyboard. That breaks your hands. And this is something I found out a little while ago, which is why I've been doing more of the running around in woods, shooting doomsticks at rubber targets. Or crossbow bolts, as I'm supposed to actually call them. But you know what? It's been a new hobby. I'm getting quite good at it now. 50 yards, not at all a difficult shot these days.
Nice.
And consistent as well. We're talking actual groupings that people with rifles should be, would go, oh, I'll pat myself on the back. Yes, you're right. Brian E, you're right. Without me, it has been Starman and the Zuma.
Yeah, we have been doing basically. Well, I've made that joke. People started making it in chat, honestly, before I thought of it. I will say that people did come up with that before I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do keep joking about Starman and Zuma. But no, a lot of people had worried we'd like fallen out or something.
I know, I've heard that.
But
No, not at all. Not at all.
we're all busy people.
Yes.
I've got to say, I sometimes struggle to do my own stream.
Yeah.
So it's just like I said, we all do this in our spare time. And it's been very nice though over the past nearly couple of years now to have people show up. Generally people turn up with the VODs now as well. We take over. We have stuff that's bigger, stuff that's better. But it's just been nice. I honestly have really enjoyed going out more kind of on our own in our own little circle, and I think we survive by being a bit smaller, honestly. I part of what was limiting to me with collaborating with larger channels, I used to do a lot more, was you were very limited in what you could say and do.
Oh God, yeah.
And a lot of people with larger platforms who do it for a job are very unwilling to tackle certain subjects.
We've said this before in quiet and perhaps in public, the channels like Sargon. Poor Carl got himself in a position where he ended up being essentially the opposite of what he ended up working for Susan. He ended up having to stop people from talking about the things that he would really like to talk about. Because, oh no, I've got people to employ and need to make sure that we don't get taken off the air because hundreds of thousands of people are watching me, and if I say the wrong word beginning with N or something like that, then suddenly it all comes to an end, and now I don't get to pay my mortgage and every all the people that I'm employing. And that can be crippling if you want to be, freedom of speech, woohoo, etc. You do need to occasionally tackle subjects that you might not even necessarily hold in, as your ideal, but you need to be able to discuss them, and you need to be able to talk about things without using euphemisms all the time. And yes, being a small channel helps on that front, but you're still in danger, without a doubt.
I've got to say, yeah, I believe that's Gary Lachman you're talking about there, Lady of Shalott. I'm aware of that as a curiosity. Yeah, basically, he was Blondie's bass player, and he wrote a book, basically saying that 4chan was doing like the serious version of meme magic. He believed that there was like dark magic involved.
Really?
It's yeah, it is called the Dark Star Rising Magic with a K and Power in the Age of Trump, which it sounds very, very skits. He's also written a book called The Return of Holy Russia,
Ooh.
which that was back in 2020 though. Mystical Awakening and Struggle for the Soul of the World, which I don't know, that if it's from the right angle, that could be quite interesting, but I don't know if he actually fully understands the work of someone like Dugin and some of the Eastern Orthodox people. It looks like he may just be some kind of almost like Q person, but I like I said, I've heard of that as a curiosity, but I've never actually read any of it, and I'm not actually even sure what his angle is on some of that stuff. And I have some more pressing things in my reading queue that are a bit more like surefire good. But I don't know. I assumed this from the opposite angle. I assume that he was accusing them of dark magic and being bad, but if he's basically talking about like meme magic, because I didn't realize he'd written a book about the rise of Holy Russia. That's honestly, yeah. Well, magic with a K is the key. Okay,
Absolutely.
I get where you're coming from now. I it's intriguing, and I'll. You've reminded me of its existence because I have heard of Dark Star Rising before because people were referencing it with the whole Dark MAGA thing sometimes, but I've not actually read any of that, and I'm not actually entirely sure what angle Gary Lachman's coming from. I'll have to educate myself. Is there anything else you've been thinking about, Trig, or I don't know.
Not really. I've been doing occasionally joining Proper Horror Show on their story. Been doing a few things with that crime guy as well, and so on Fridays occasionally. Other thing, anything else we've been doing recently? I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of, yeah.
Sorry. I'm just laughing at memes. I forgot how funny that one was. It's been a good run though.
Yes.
Yeah, he was talking about Trunk and another. He was very intelligent. I'm gonna buy it. Okay. I'll give it a try, but it's been a good couple of years really, I think.
Yeah,
It's been a
absolutely.
challenging couple of years, but I honestly I think we've done pretty well. Looking back on this stuff to pat ourselves on the back here. But like I said, we'd to bring out the cliche, we'd really be nothing without you guys. It's not We've talked about remaining small and being nimble and trying to survive, basically like the mammals with the dinosaur. But we wouldn't be anything we didn't have an actual audience, an actual feedback, and people to give us relevant information, pull us up on things, and have that back and forth. I know a lot of you guys are in the Telegram, which I will actually now shill. That is in the description down below, but I will also post it. Where's my computer's being slow, even though it shouldn't be because it's a very new laptop. But there we go. It decided to pop up. This is the Telegram that's run by me and Evelyn. If you guys want to have a follow of us there, since I'm not on Twitter anymore. Trig, I've already shilled your YouTube channel, but that is down in the description as well. Trig's channel. I still have my Discord. That's a bit more of a legacy server and a bit more general in terms of its content. If you guys want to join my Discord, it is a bit more kind of general internet spurgery, but I know people enjoy that as well. We do still have the Substack. There are a lot of stuff. There's a lot of articles that we've got on hold that we're researching that will be coming out at some point. We're probably going to try and again spruce that up over the next couple of months when we've got a bit more time. But I've not hit a wall with them really. I've mostly written quite a few things, but really there's a few books that I'd like to read before I put them out because I think there will be relevant quotes in them. And I've been quite bad, honestly, over the past couple of years for not reading a lot of stuff in its entirety. So I basically just need to disappear back into the woodwork for a little bit in terms of writing and get myself together. Because again, there's a huge amount of notes that we've got, and as much as we put stuff out publicly, there is probably twice as much material being built up on the back end that we're trying to springboard into and make it easy for ourselves in future. That's kind of how we work. That's really how the democratization stuff came out. We were researching that really. I know Evelyn was at least, and then me and you threw some of the material for. There was at least a month and a half process that all got set up during, and obviously a lot of research for years beforehand from all of us from our dissident reading, because we've all not really had a traditional view of history for the long time, I would think. So.
Oh yeah, I know. And you know what? I've got so many history. I literally, you next time you come over, mate, you will see. I'm gonna end up with, there will be at least another three bookshelves like the ones I've already got, and they will all be full.
It's a
And
good thing that like we've filled up our bookshelves. I mean that's our dedicated like quote unquote based bookshelf as we call it as joking. I've still got a whole like slew of like pre-1960s encyclopedias and history books that I inherited from my dad, which are very useful because it's amazing how differently things are phrased, even in just a mainstream book from the 60s or especially pre-1945. Things are very different if you look at the way things are referred to. But that's, I know, that's a topic for another day. And there's a lot of stuff we'd like to tackle. We simply don't have time. It's not lack of interest. It's probably there's overabundance of interest.
Yeah. But
Well, thank you for coming on today, Trig. And I know you've been busy yourself with personal stuff. I know being an executive of a will is really challenging. I've done
oh
it
boy.
myself, so
Yeah,
I
it's
don't envy you with that.
touch wood, we're getting towards the end of it now. Just about every single T is crossed and every single I is dotted at this point. But yeah, it's not been easy, and I don't know if I told you, I was literally, it was my uncle that died, and I was over there on the Saturday, and I was the last person basically to see him alive. He was by Monday already well on his way into sort of, wasn't actually a coma, but he was unconscious, and in that unconscious state had like a pneumonia that was caused sepsis and just ripped pieces inside a day. And yeah, it's weird. I went over to help him on the Saturday and was the last person to see him. It's been playing on my mind a bit, you know. You get that, was there something I could have done? Is there some sort of something that I should have noticed? But at the same time,
it's the same with always with relatives.
Yeah, and you know, he'd been sick man for a very long time. His fair share of illnesses. And yeah, no, it's just very, very sad to see someone in their mid-60s to sort of all of a sudden, bam. You know, there they are fine, and the next minute you get a phone call going, get over here now, we need to put him in an ambulance, and that's it, it's game over. It's it brings back the sense that we are mortal, that you know, these things do change, that people who you know and love are not always going to be there. So you know what, guys, cherish your loved ones. I'm going to go all wholesome for a second, but you know, if you feel like you should, you know, you give a family member a hug or something like that, do, because you know, you never know, you know, the next time you never leave bad blood between people, you never know. This was a shock for me, and mortality is very real, and it's a very sad thing when it happens. So you know, a bit of sage advice.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a good way to end it. No, people need to remember that, you know, we're all people. We all have stuff to do. We all have lives. That's what I've tried to encourage people to do, is be less parasocial, be more community orientated. That's really been a big through thread of the channel, really, since we started it. Is to try and get people to organize, and
absolutely,
one of the main points of it. But it's been very good, kind of building a community and having the channel grow and develop, and finding out what content works, finding out what doesn't, and just, you know, trying to at least put out weekly stuff for you guys. And hopefully we can do more going forward, and hopefully we'll have a bit more trig if we can find the time. But like I said, work and everything else, life comes first generally, so we try to balance things as we can.
But Touchwood things should be coming down, so I hope so in the future. Yes, definitely. Yeah, shall we leave it there then?
Yeah, we'll leave it there. I think we've covered everything quite nicely. We've had a good little look backwards, a good little look forwards. This has been, I guess, more of an inside baseball thing for people, but a decent amount of you showed up and commented. I'm quite surprised about how many OG people there are, to be a little cringe. But no, a lot of you guys have been along for the ride for a long time, so thank you very much for that. We've already thanked our members. I think we've read all our donations. There's been quite a few of you, so thank you for that, guys. And we will see you guys next time. I think there'll probably be a stream on Monday, but I'm not quite sure who it will be with. Evelyn's going to be in the US for a while, so I might try and either put a video together, or I might do a solo stream in which I tackle a couple of points from a couple of recent streams that we may need to expand on. There's been some good feedback from people recently, so I might on Monday do a quick solo stream, possibly covering a little bit of Sri Lanka's relationship with China, and also a little bit to do with the Russia situation, since I've had a few decent comments about that. But yeah, we'll see about that one, and I'll just say goodbye from me,
and goodbye from him. Good night.
Yes, you all have a good evening. Oh.